I'm just going to continue speaking about the Holy Spirit, the gifts and the ministries of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we hear it and we think, ugh, I know about it, or I know that, or I got a grip on that. And this morning I just pray that we will just allow ourselves just to hear what God is saying, and that something will stand out for each one of us. There's something that we can take home. I just realized that there's a lot of God that I don't know. The more I start reading and looking at the Word, and every time there's new things that jump out. There's just this last night again. It was just a good time. Just reading the Word and thinking about the sermon. And I've put a question there. It's like, do we really want to know more about God? Because sometimes we get comfortable. I certainly do. There's at certain stages, and there's a lot of things that I want to know, and then I sort of figure it out. And I say, okay, I can just go on with my life. I've had these questions. I got answers for them. It's fine now. Now I can just be comfortable for a while, and maybe something happened or someone asked something, and then there's a need to know something more. And I realized that there's so much that God has made available for us. And I don't want us to get comfortable. I don't want us to get comfortable with what we know. That we'll keep on just surrendering. Just allowing God to show us new things, to be teachable. Because God gave us everything. Everything is available for us. And I think it's really a place where we keep on surrendering. Keep on laying parts of our lives, just surrendering it to God. Because usually there's something that we hold on to. Say, Lord, you can do this and this and this. I trust you for that and that and that. This part, I'm still working at this. I'll leave this for the holidays, or when I have time, or that's for another day. Or those people that irritate me, I don't have to sort that out. I'll sort that out sometime. It's fine for now. We don't really get too angry with one another, so it's just a work thing with different people. And it's easy to get a lot of excuses for a lot of things. And God actually want us to be holy, to become like Him. And I know I've got a long way to go, I think all of you as well. So we are all in the same boat. So there's a lot of things to learn. And this is a great place to be. I always realize if we can remain teachable, it's a good place to be. If we get arrogant and say, no, I've known this and this, and I've sorted that, and I don't want to answer any of the questions, then it's a very dangerous place to be. So Daniel started, he shared about the Holy Spirit, the presence. It's God's presence, and our God was always present in the temple and in the Ark of the Covenant. And then when he went away, he sent us the Holy Spirit that's present within us. And the Holy Spirit is at work from Genesis. He was hovering over the earth and everything that was going on. And through the Old Testament, he's always at work. He's busy. And also, the other thing that came out was, through the Holy Spirit, we can experience a taste of heaven, almost. We can show people something of Jesus through what the Holy Spirit is doing in and through our lives. And I just want to take it to just continue the conversation, talk a bit about some of the things that was mentioned, and then also just touch on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because there's also, we look at the gifts and the power of God and the power that's manifesting through the Holy Spirit. But it's getting dangerous where we just want the power. Because that is really a lustful relationship. Where you say, Lord, I just want more of you. I want your power. I want to do all these great things. Then we need to ask ourselves, why do we want to do it? And throughout there's many examples in the Word. I'm just thinking about Moses, where in the Israelites, they experienced the power of God, but yet they were going astray, and they were moaning and everything. And we need to trust God to move just past just a desire for the power and the gifts, but just to surrender to God and to know Him better. And I believe those other things will then flow as a result of what God is doing in our lives. But this is something that we need to trust for. Paul said, he writing to the church in Corinth, and he said in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." He wants us to know. He wants us to be informed. And this will mean today we're starting the conversation. Maybe some of you going home, you have more questions. Let us work through these things. Let us discuss it. Let us come to a place where we're just effective. Because really the gifts, this is really part of our warfare. It's part of the tools, it's part of things that God gave us to extend His kingdom, but also ultimately to bring Him glory. And that is what we are doing. We bring God glory. And it's part of to fulfill the plans that He has for us and for our church and for our communities. And I've seen every time, I've got many testimonies. You guys know my story where I was so frustrated, read a lot of things in the Bible, didn't see it happening in my life. Then I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and everything changed. And there's just a new excitement, there was a new life. I thought it was just, everything was new, was amazing. Suddenly the Bible was not, it could resonate it in my heart of what God is doing. And I was seeing some of the things that are happening in the Bible happening in my own life. But there was a place, it started with a desire, it started with a cry for God. God, I need you to do something in my life. I need you to change something. I didn't know what must happen. Quite frankly, I didn't know. And I think for us as well, God will answer you where you're at. He will answer those questions, those frustrations, those things that you're working through. We must just keep on. Keep on. Don't at some point just decide, no, I'm going to walk away. Some people are walking away, and they're walking away saying things about church, and they've never experienced anything about Jesus. They just decided to give up. And I don't want that to happen. And that's why I also said that don't become comfortable with just where you're at in your relationship with the Lord. Maybe if that's the only thing, that's great. Then you can go home and just think, I just want to read more, I just want to study more, I just want to know more. And God, please show me. Please show me something. What often happens, we will see something operating in someone's life, or someone is doing a miracle, and instead of giving God glory, we say, wow, that guy is so amazing. Wow, that's great. And in society, it often happens where people are they get the glory instead of God. And there's also many testimonies of that, where I read some of the histories of the it was in this, this 1960, from there onwards, there was, they say, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but it was really just the gifts of the Holy Spirit starting to work in different churches. And different people experience different things working through their lives. Especially, I'll talk later about the gifts of healing. There's different gifts. So what often will happen, I will have ability to pray for someone with back pain. And other guys, they just experience God is just healing people with arthritis. And the book that I read, the guy said, maybe it is just how God made it to be. That there's never one guy that can say he's God. He's doing all the healings. Because there will always be some people that they don't get healed, we don't understand it. But what we do see is there's a tendency for someone to have a specific gift of healing for a specific thing. And through the years, There was a guy here, he stood on the stage, he was healing, that was in 1960s, 1970s. His name is later on in my sermon, but I just thought I'll tell it now. So I'm not going to scroll there. But what he did, he was standing there and he said, "I am becoming like God." And a few weeks after he got sick and he got arthritis. And his thing was he prayed for arthritis. People were getting up out of wheelchairs everywhere. And he was going all over the world. He came to South Africa on a stage here. He made a bold statement. He said, "I'm actually now becoming like God. And the sickness is at my feet." And a few weeks later, that same thing that was his anointing, he got sick with that. And later, a few months, he died. And it's as if God has removed him. And he had, and there's many others that had great ministries, great things going for them. But at a certain stage, they said, "Wow, this is so amazing." And it came to a point where they not, where people will say, "Wow, this is amazing what God is doing." Or, "You are amazing." Let me say this. The first thing that people will say, "You are amazing, that's amazing what you did." And then you'll say, "Yes, but it is God working through me." Usually at a certain point, the people, they don't say that anymore. The glory that they get, they just say, "Yes. Yeah, that's good. Thank you. Thank you." And they don't reference God anymore. And it just starts subtle. And often later they get removed. Or they just go off and they created a new ministry or something. And so we don't want that. We want to stay true to God. We're really in a partnership with God, letting His kingdom come and bringing glory to His name. And we humans, we almost want to, we are very funny in many ways. We like shortcuts. We like shortcuts. If there's one thing that's working through someone, then I'll rather ask him to do it than trusting God that it can happen through my life. Because there's this guy, and I'm not saying, obviously, there are gifts that are stronger through certain people, but we must also watch out for those shortcuts. Those things that, okay, I don't have to do it, that guy can do it. I don't have to do this, that guy can do this. And I think you will know when we are just settling for a shortcut, settling for something just comfortable. Because there's just so much more. And the thing about the Holy Spirit, two things, is omnipotent and omnipresent. He's all powerful and He's everywhere. Psalm 139, verse 7 says, "Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence?" I can't get away from the Spirit of God. And sometimes we think we can escape from God. Or we can hide or sit in my boys' think, hey, nobody sees them. Sometimes, I remember when I was small taking cookies, I thought no one sees me. I had a master plan, the angle to my mother's bedroom and everything. But the Holy Spirit is everywhere. He knows about everything. And sometimes we even think that we can hide from God, but we can't get away. But the great thing about that is even there in your biggest struggle, even there in the most difficult place, the Holy Spirit is there. Even at work, even at places where it's going rough, where we walk in, the Holy Spirit is going with us. In Acts 2 verse 17, it says, "In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams." There's a promise of the Holy Spirit for everyone. There's a promise of the Holy Spirit for each one of us. There's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit being promised by God. So it's really a thing that we can hold on to. And it says, all flesh. That's everyone. John 16 verse 13, I'm just giving a foundation before I talk about more specifically about the gifts. It says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. And that's definitely one of the things that's happening. The Holy Spirit telling us things to come, telling us the truth of God, telling us what's going to happen in the future. He's definitely doing it, and I've experienced that in my life as well. And then in 1 Peter 4 verse 10, very important, it says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. It's almost like we share in what we have received from the Lord. If we come together, all of us, and we look at what have we received, we can serve one another with those gifts. And we can serve the communities, we can serve people around us. But it's really a partnership with God. And there's a place where we serve one another. And then it's not so much that, wow, this guy is great and that guy is not so great and this guy got this thing. Everything is important. Everyone is important. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 6, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter but of the Spirit? For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And through the Spirit and through the Spirit working in us, we are really life givers. When we walk into the hospital during an Activate week, when we walk through that ward, we are life givers. We walk in there and we just start talking to people. And I know that God can bring healing through His Spirit. And we can be life givers. Even just talking to people anywhere, we are life givers. We've got the ability to change circumstances, to change people, their whole direction, their paths of where they are going. And this is something to hold on to. What I've experienced in my own life, it was obviously after the mountain, I came in a small group and the guy said to me, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I said, no. I said, please tell me everything. Yeah, everything there is. And I remember reading in during the holiday in Acts 19, the first few verses, how they found the disciples and asked him, did you receive the baptism or the infilling of the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no. And the guys prayed for them and they received the Holy Spirit and they started speaking in other tongues. So that's throughout the Bible, that was always the next step. People got baptized, they received the Holy Spirit, they started speaking in other tongues. But that is a spiritual language. That is a personal thing. It's a personal ability that we will get when we receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We will have the ability to speak in another language, a heavenly language. And when we do that, our mind doesn't understand it. And we had an encounter one and many different testimonies at encounter, our last two encounter ones. And it's always special to hear what we say, how it happened in our lives. And some say that it took quite a while. They went to their room. Initially they pray, they ask God to come and baptize or come and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Because that's how it really happens. We come to the Lord and we ask Him. We will come together and we pray together, but I will always tell the person, you ask God to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And then we believe that it actually happened. So that is the first step. And then we trust God for that heavenly language, that it will start, it will come out. It was very weird for me, very new, very new. And I thought, yes, I don't know how this is going to happen. So I prayed with the guys, and often they will say they're going to pray in their heavenly language, and I must just try to follow. So I tried to follow, and I realized that I'm saying words that's not what they are saying. I'm saying a new word. And I do a lot of role play. That's just what we do. And even with kids, it's nice to have more opportunity to do role play. So you, different people, different places, different voices, different languages. So I thought maybe this is just me doing role play. Maybe I'm saying something that I just made up. But usually it's very difficult to say the same thing over and over and over. I don't know if you can relate, but just try to do funny languages and stuff, make up words. You'll soon realize it's difficult to repeat yourself. And I realized that I can actually repeat it all the time. And I got another word, and I was able to repeat it all the time. And I realized, wow, that God is actually doing something new in my life. There's something new that's here. Like Afrikaans and English, and there's another heavenly language. And it's available, and it's for us. And that is something that God will do in each of our lives. It's just a place where we can just come, and we ask Him to do that for us. And then we believe that when we ask, that it will happen. Because He's not like in Matthew we can read, God is our Father, but He's not like our earthly fathers. Where you ask something and you're not sure what you're going to get. You maybe get something else. He will give it to us. So that is just the infilling and how it all starts. And that's certainly what I start experiencing in my own life. This is a new thing. There's a new excitement. There's just a new thing that God is doing. And from there, I just went to Pastor Sias and I asked him, just help me to get going. Help me. What is the next step? So I've really got a desire to be effective for the Lord, just to pray for people and just to get a word for them. And he said, just do it. I said, no, you must give me the steps. He said, no, we're going to pray now, and you just do it. I said, no, give me the steps. And he said, we're just going to do it. So I was very nervous, and this a thought came in about his friend, and he must go back to a friend, and he must reconcile with this guy, and I just said, so now we're just praying. I can't remember if I prayed in my prayer language, or I just prayed, or I just kept quiet. It was in Rwanda on a mission trip. And so we're just praying. I thought, now it's getting a bit uncomfortable. So he's not saying anything. He's just waiting for me, and I'm just doing something to make up time. And then I thought, I'm just going to tell this whole thing. This is the thought I get. This is your friend. This is this whole thing. And he said, yes, that's how it is. And I thought, okay. So that's maybe God working, doing something. And through the years, just getting to recognize the voice of God. Getting to recognize some of these moments and just learning what God is doing through my life. To recognize when it is actually a voice of God speaking to me, when it is just my own thoughts. Because I've had that as well. Sitting in a great worship service, writing, I thought, wow, God is telling me a lot of things. And I wrote and I wrote and I wrote. And somewhere I got carried away and I wrote just a lot of other stuff. And later on when I went back, I thought, okay, maybe up to there. But after that, it was me and my imagination. And it was just a lot of stuff. But we learn. The thing is, God will not shame you. He will never shame you. Even me bringing words to people, there's never a shameful word. There's never that He will expose us in front of people. When there's a direct word come, you won't experience it as shame. But, yeah, God is a respecter of persons. And it's not that we don't have to be afraid. I was certainly afraid of, what if I lose control? What if I don't have a grip on it? What if this? What if that? It never happened. And I just want to say it up front, because sometimes we are afraid to ask God for things. We're afraid of asking the Lord, show me this, show me this. And at a certain point, we're just afraid to take a next step. And through the years, there was never a point where I felt like, wow, God is now putting me in, yeah, this was bad. There was never something like that. So, I just want to jump quickly. After Lester Sumrall, I know Andrew knows Lester Sumrall. He wrote a book about the Holy Spirit, and he said after that infilling of the Holy Spirit, after that first step, there's a new thing that's going to happen. And he put it in a few, he said there's a love for God's word that is just new. It's just fresh. He said there's a stewardship of resources. We just become a new person. You just generous, you're just living in a different way. It's almost you just trust God in a different way. You face up to sin and you confess your sin. It's just as if God is doing a new thing, and strongholds and things that used to be these massive things are not so big anymore. It's almost we get a boldness. We get a boldness to witness, but often also a boldness to just to tell a friend, this is what's going on in my life. Just help me. And we a special compassion for people, ability to reach out, ability just to be that witness for God. Without trying to do something, we are just a witness for the Lord. And these are just some of the things that's happening. So Paul, when he wrote to the church in Corinth about the gifts, so we're almost at the gifts, it's interesting to note that he first wrote to them about unity. About we are all part of the body and everyone's got a role to play. And he laid that foundation of unity. And I thought it is so significant. Because if I think about gifts and everyone doing a different thing, it's probably easy to think, okay, so that guy is more important than this guy. That guy is more important than this guy. I can only do this. That guy can do that. And he just laid the foundation. Before we start speaking about the gifts, we are part of one body. We are here to glorify God. We need to work together. We need to be in unity. Because when there's unity, God commands the blessing. And that is also what we've seen in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 19 to 22. If all were a single member, where would the body be? There are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And sometimes this is something that we just also must realize in our lives, that we are part of the body. There's a role for each one of us to play. It's not one that's more important than the other one. Each one of us, we bring together and God is doing something beautiful with us, His body. And it went on, it goes on, and I know often you might be jealous about something that's happening in someone's life, and you say, I want that, and you can go then and talk about the impartation, where we pray for one another, and there's an impartation happening, or we go to someone and say, I want to learn, just tell me, how do you experience this, how is it working in your life, just tell me, help us to work through this. Because this is something that I see, and I also desire spiritual gifts. It's something that we must desire. It's something that God wants us to have it. He wants us to be effective. He wants us to experience this in our lives. Oh, I can't get there. At the end of 1 Corinthians 12, it will... Let's see if I can... Okay, but it is just before he goes over to chapter 13. Yes, and he said, but earnestly desire the higher gifts. And then he said, but I will show you a still more excellent way. I will show you a still more excellent way. And then he starts writing about love in chapter 13. And then he starts saying, but without love, any of this is meaningless. It doesn't help to have all this stuff. It doesn't help to have the gifts when there's no love. And Paul was really laying the foundation. He started with unity and love. These are the foundations on which we operate. There's a love for God. There's a love for people. And that is what's driving it. And I realized that even when I think when someone is operating in the gifts, and at a certain point he's taking that glory to himself, that love is gone. Then it's not so much about a love for people, it's more a love of myself, a love of what I can do. And also when there's someone exalting himself, there might be a problem with unity. Listen, I'm doing this. You guys can't do this. There's only a few of us that can operate. Some churches, they say that. They say the gifts are not for everyone. It is for this guy and this guy and this guy and this guy. And if you're going to stay here for 5 years, then maybe you can be the other guy. But that's how it's going to work. And they make it very exclusive. And this is not how God made it to be. It's available for each one of us. There's unity and there's love. And these are the building blocks. The more excellent way. In John 14, verse 12, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father." I think this is one of those verses that we must actually stick up the wall and meditate on it and think through it and spend some time over it and say, "Lord, okay, yeah, I am. I'm ready. Help me." Because Jesus did a few amazing things. And he said, we will do even better, even more than that. But we read over it and think, okay, this is great. And we go on and you just read your piece for the day and you go to bed. And it's like this is mind-blowing stuff. Tomorrow we read it again or whenever it comes up again in our reading plan. And that's it. But yeah, we must really meditate on these things. In Zechariah 4 verse 6, then he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." And these gifts that the Lord gives us, this is really by his spirit. This is what he's giving us to fight battles. This is the armor. This is our weapons of our warfare. This is things that's available for us that we must utilize. And really, the gift of the Holy Spirit, it is divided in three groups. There's the revelation gifts, where it's revealing something of the truth of God. Then there's the power gifts, that's really just a manifestation of the power of God. And the inspiration gifts. So those are just the three categories. I'm just quickly going to talk a bit about them. The revelation gives words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Now, words of wisdom is something that is going to happen in the future. God will tell you something that's coming up. He will tell you, give you warnings. He will tell you specific things that this is going to happen. Where knowledge is a fact. It's a fact in someone's life. It's things that happened or things that's happening right now. And all of these are powerful to minister to people, to tell them about Jesus. I remember my friend Jakob Prinsloo, he and Sias was in Stellenbosch on the Rooi Plain speaking to an atheist who doesn't believe in God. And he said all kind of accusations. And it was going on and on and on and on. And then Jakob got a word. He said, "What about your mother that's in the hospital right now? She's sick. Can't we pray for her?" And the guy said, "How do you know that?" And he said, "Well, the Lord just revealed it to me." And he just opened up. And there was an opportunity for God to do something in his life. And that's the power of the gifts. It will just break through. It will break through the fences. It will break through many things. But it's driven by love. When I was in India, I told you guys that the guy that was the shop in the jungle that I met, and he's saying he's afraid and everything, and I just first experienced the love of God for this person, and then this words that he got robbed and his brother died and his parents are trying to have another child and all these things. And it just thoughts that came. And eventually the guy just said, okay, so how do you know all this stuff? And I could just tell him, well, I don't know you. I'm working through interpreter here. But it's getting overwhelming how much God loves you. Because he's revealing all these things about you. Obviously, God is very interested in your life. You want to do something special here. And that's all words of knowledge that operated there. And we must really trust God for these things, for this to be effective in this. I just want to say the word of wisdom, it is just a word. Sometimes you get a hint of something in the future. Sometimes you get a part of it. Where you go and you say, I believe the Holy Spirit is revealing this to me, this is going to happen. And you just, sometimes just for you, and sometimes it's for a congregation or for people, but it's often just a word. So don't add to it. It's easy to add. So, yeah, don't add. I can think of examples. Man, we all make mistakes. But with all of this, we must be willing to admit when you make a mistake. So I always tell the guys. Sometimes I say, I feel God is telling this to me. I feel this is what he's saying. Is it like that? Just check. Because then the lady that you thought you want to pray for all the children, she doesn't have children. So obviously that's not a word from the Lord. And I thought there's five. So that everything lined up. So, and she was not going to have children anytime soon. So it's amazing in the Old Testament how this word of wisdom, how the Spirit just came and he showed different people different things that's going to happen. Like for Noah, it said, you must build an ark, this is coming. This is coming, this and this. And somewhere you had to believe, okay, this is it. I had a moment with our training in Stellenbosch where we ministry training program where we wrote the exam. As I stood up, I saw a guy sitting and the Lord is telling me, we are going to work together. And I thought, man, this is impossible. This guy is in, he was somewhere in Gauteng. He came down for the training. I'm here. He's not even in Shofar. And a month later, they phoned me and they said they wanted to get this guy to come down to work for Shofar. What do I think about it? I said, well, I don't think anything. God already said this is what God is telling me. So it's quite easy. I don't have to go and pray about it. That was a word of wisdom of something what's going to happen. The word of knowledge, in John 4, when Jesus went to the woman at the well, and he said to her, he basically explain her whole life for her. And we know from there she just went to the town. She told him, here's a man that explained to me everything of my life. And then people got saved, started believing in Jesus, and they all went to hear for themselves, and the whole place got saved. That's amazing. Jesus took time out, and we know all the... He crossed the cultural barriers and everything. But he took time out to stop and just to say, okay, here's a woman. I think God wanted, well, he's God, but he wanted to do something here. Sometimes I was walking past sometimes it's uncomfortable. The timing is not how we want it to be. So I remember in the NLC also one night after a shofar training there, after 10, I just want to get home. Now I walk past a cleaner, the lady that's busy there, and I think, oh, and I get a thought that I must pray for her back. And yeah, I must pray for a family member that's sick. I said, this is a bit vague. I didn't think, I'm really tired. So we just went out, get in the car, start the car, thinking, okay, I'll go back. I'll just check. and go back, and we pray together for a family member. And then she said, but what about her back? I said, oh, we can pray for your back. We're praying now. We're on the roll here. Anything else? And so, and God healed her back there that night. And I just realized, Lord, what is happening? That this is, we just did a simple prayer. And she really believed that we can pray together. God is going to touch her back. And he healed her on the spot. And I realized that sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it's not how we thought it's going to be. But we just need to be obedient. And to go back and to check. Okay, quickly, discerning of spirits. This is often a spirit or something that's in someone's life that's happening, and you discern that this is not from God. It's not a gift of discernment. It's a discernment of spirits. So where we see it in the Bible is in Acts 8, verse 18 to 19. I don't think it's on the slide. I'll just quickly. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money. So it was Simon, he was doing things, and they realized the spirit that is in this guy is not from Jesus. This is a false spirit. And they were able to discern it. And the same thing happened later in Acts 13, also in Acts 8, Peter said to, may your silver perish with you. Well, this is the same. Because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. So you discern the spirit that's operating in this person. That is what's happening there. And I say, Lord, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness, in the bond of iniquity. So how this happened in my life was in Delft one evening at intercession. Before we came there, we were a year in Delft. And a guy walked into intercession. And we start praying and praying, and everybody tell me this is a new guy. That he hasn't been to church yet, but they know him in the community. And after intercession, he brought a word. He said, there's going to be a division in the church, and many people are going to leave. I thought, okay, that's very weird. It didn't gel. There was something not right there. So ask about who's this guy, find out about him. And it turns out that he's a new guy that came to Delft and he wants to start a church. So he just thought he'll join the intercessions and then he'll say, there's going to be a division, people that's going to leave your church. And then he's there to get them, to come to his church. But praise the Lord, we discerned what's going on there. And we could have stopped it. But it was immediately when he brought the word, there was an uneasiness. There was a few people that agree, what's going on here? What he's saying, there's a different spirit operating here. And we could discern it. Okay, the power gifts. Firstly, the gift of faith. This is where God is doing something where there's no human intervention. We can't do anything about it. It is just God doing it. Like, for example, when Daniel, when the law came out, you must not pray, they're going to throw you, or this is the law, and they throw him in the lion's den. He had a gift of faith. He knew that God will protect him. And he almost, but it was just God doing it. He couldn't do anything to stop the lions from eating him. It was just, he had no intervention, he didn't play a part in that physically. But he trusted God. And God came through in a miraculous way. Just God's power did something there. And I think many of us will have testimonies of this. Sometimes we might not even realize that it's a gift of faith. Because everyone have a measure of faith. I just want to say that. In Romans 12, verse 3, it talks about, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Each of us has received a measure of faith. And there's also saving faith, where we come to Jesus and you say, I believe. there's a measure of faith. There's something that you can do. And sometimes when we pray for healing, there's a part that you believe God is going to answer the prayer. There's some faith at work there. But the gift of faith is different. That's where you know you can, you didn't know you can do something amazing and God will do his bit without you doing anything. If you follow what I'm saying. There's a place where you will just know that God will come in and he will do this and you can put your faith out for that thing. Where other people will say, no, they can't do that. Often people will say, no, they're afraid of this and this and this. And another guy will say, and they say, guys, this is what we're going to do. And this is, God is going to come through for us. And then it happens. So he had that supernatural gift of faith. But he didn't do anything. It's just God doing it. The gifts of healing, they say this is the gift that is limit. And it's also the only one that's plural, gifts of healings. Because we will often operate in certain healings that will work through our lives, and you might be stronger in one, but not so strong in others. I know God heals. I know God can heal anyone. So I just go out and pray when I feel led to pray for people. And I'm not allowed to myself to get discouraged when somebody doesn't get healed. Because I know God is a healer. And I've seen healings. And actually now that I in preparing the sermon, I'm now thinking about the times where I did pray for people that got healed. And I'm actually checking now, maybe there's a trend. Maybe there's a certain one that's stronger than the others. And maybe you will realize there's certain sicknesses that you prayed for where people got healed. So together, you actually become a team. There's a guy that said he was traveling with some of the guys that called the there was healing crusades, and he only prayed for blind people. And they like said that's his thing, blind people. And they say about 400 people received their sight that he prayed for, but that he just prayed for the blind. The other guy, he prayed for people with arthritis. And I realized that imagine we can get to a place where we can start recognizing the gifts, recognizing not only this, but also some of the other gifts that's operating through us. And it can be so much more effective coming together, being that body, that unity, and operating in love. But first, I'm just going to say, you just pray for yourself. When you're sick, sickness, we pray. In our home, we try to make it, this is what we do, we pray for the sick. And when the children out there, they got oil from the children's church service, I think in Rondebosch, they just walk. Lucy is just with a little bottle of oil. She's praying for a doll. She's praying for everything. If you sneeze, you want to put oil on your head. She want to pray for you. And that's amazing. She just realized that there's something happening here. She just want to pray for everything. And often still, it happens so often, where we just pray with the kids for healing. Because God is a healer. Obviously, you can ask the family to pray in James 5. Also, they say, if anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save him who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. These are all different areas where we can pray for the sick. The working of miracles. Quickly, this is where the Lord is working through someone and doing a miracle. Something supernatural power. That working of miracles is really speaking in the Greek of dynamite and energy. So that's how the working of miracles. That's what it speaks about, that dynamous power that's available. Some say that was David operated in the working of miracles when he killed the lion and the bear with his naked hands. It's not something that everybody did during those days. It was a bit extraordinary. And I often read it and I think, man, that must have been a hectic fight. This little guy, big lion. And he killed him. And he had this testimony. And walking up to Goliath, and he just told him, to Saul even, say, this is what I've done with God. This is my testimony. I killed a lion, killed a bear. This is just another one. Goliath is here, but with God, I'm just going to walk over this guy. And he had just recognized this gift of miracles, this thing that was working in his life. Same with Samson. He had the ability, a supernatural ability, to do things with the Spirit. You know, when he stepped and when they cut off his hair and everything, he didn't obey everything and he started doing things in his own way. He lost that thing and later he got that ability back. But in Acts 1 verse 8, it said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And that word power is also that same dunamis, that power, that supernatural power of God. And Jesus had many, many water in wine. There was many things that everybody realized, this is supernatural thing happening here. This is something extraordinary. So this is God working through your life, you doing something by the supernatural power of God. Okay, and then just the inspirational gifts. Lastly, there's the prophecy, speaking in tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. Prophecy is for the edification, exhortation, upliftment of the body. And it's something that we neglect, and it's something that they'll read, this is the one. This is very important. This is what we must all try to do, to prophesy. And I think it is actually very, maybe it's because we live in a broken world. There's so much pain, so much chaos, so many things. Imagine we can every Sunday just come and just speak the words of God into our lives. Just bring exhortation. Not just flattery and just saying nice things and hope tomorrow is a better day. But really speaking the truth of God into situations. Exhortation. Really encourage people. Really bring them comfort. You're speaking something about the knowledge of God for situations. And that is what that is. It's not a rebuke. Correction comes from speaking, from the Bible. We will receive correction. Prophecy is not intended to be a rebuke. It's not a ministry to criticize. It's really to build up, to strengthen, to remove fear. And that's what we trust for. And also the comfort, the consolation, the healing of stress, persecution, suffering, where we can bring a word for someone in their suffering, in their difficult time, and just encourage them to go on and to go through. And the last two, the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Tongues really is where someone will come in a service and God will give you also a heavenly language or an utterance where you say something that this is the word of God. And then we trust always that there's someone that will have an interpretation. But it's not a translation. I often sat there and I thought, man, I don't understand. I hope somebody understands this language. I thought it's a translation. It's not a translation. It's an interpretation. And sometimes we will read in Corinthians, there might even be two or three people that bring a piece of the truth, bring a piece of what God is saying, and it will come together. Acts 2 verse 4 says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." I'm just going to read Mark 16, verse 15 to 17. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. There's something that we must trust. There's a new thing that we must trust God for. There's to be effective witnesses. We just quickly touch on these gifts, the revelation gifts, the power gifts, the inspirational gifts. And I think that the conversation is going to go on. That we must come and really say, let's pray together, let's trust God for what is that what God want to do through my life? What is it? How is it going to work? How is it going to look? And when we come together, we trust for those, for prophecy. We trust for those encouragement, those words that will come in allowing God to speak something into our lives and for us. And I pray that as we get to know more, as we understand the gifts better, that we will really desire it. That we will really get to a point where, Lord, I desire these things. I can see how this is going to help me to be an effective witness for you. Show me the next step. Show me what to do. Lord, take away the fear. Take away the fear of the unknown that I might have. Fear of this is something new. This is something that I don't understand. Just come and take that away, Lord, and help me to operate in it. Help me to just experience all of this in and through my life. And the beauty of this, the examples, it's endless of what God is doing and how He loves people. That always, it blows my mind when I experience, see different things, how God comes and how He loves us. This word that somebody gave. There was I think I told it a long time ago, but there was a guy having an affair with his secretary, and he was giving her red flowers, and he always gave his wife yellow flowers. So someone walked to the front, and they said, they've got a word of knowledge. There's a man in the auditorium. You've been liking, you are very interested in the red flowers, and God is telling you to return to the yellow flowers. And he broke down. He knew exactly what God is saying. God didn't expose him. He didn't shame him before the people. And he was sitting there and he was able to respond in his life. He had the opportunity to turn his life around. And that is just one of the examples of this. Where there's a point where we can try to make things happen. We can struggle in our own power, in our own ways, and then we can just allow God to come in, and He just take over. You just do something that you know this is God. And I remember, there's so many things that I'm thankful for God that He did. Some of it is very personal. When I had to get my degree, I had to, my final remarks, just driving there, I felt God telling me that this, what's going to happen now, is going to be bad. And I thought, man, no, this is not, this can't be. And I just had first it was fear that came upon my life, and then I decided, okay, I think it's a warning, let me just pray. Let me just start praying. So on my bicycle, I prayed all the way to the engineering faculty, where we had to get our marks. And then the secretary just said, sorry, you failed the last exam. You must just come back next year. I said, no. Because I already planned to be a chauffeur the next year. But because God warned me, I walked in that day with a whole different attitude. I was expecting something bad, but I was already praying about it, that God will make a way. And I just said, can I just see the professor? I walked to his office. He said, come inside, come go through the papers, see if you find anything that I missed. I said, great, and I sat there. And while I was there, other guys came in and he just sent them away. they were just, what happened, and this and this. And he said, get out of my office. And I didn't understand what's going on there. But I just saw he's chasing other guys away. I don't know if he's allowed to do it, but I just knew I was in my corner and I kept quiet. And I'm looking for points. And I saw many. I saw many. Ugh, it was such a blessing. Let's go through and mark and mark. And I gave it to him, and he just started. He said, congratulations. And he just stopped it all. He said, congratulations, got your degree, let's go. And then I realized that that's just one of the examples. There's so many ways, but there's so much available for us. And today, we're just touching the surface. I pray that we will really have just a hunger for the Word of God, a hunger to get to know God better, a hunger to read about how did the gifts operate. Say, Lord, show me what's been happening in my life. Maybe I didn't even realize what's happening. Help me to recognize some of these things. I often ask the Lord, often go back and say, this is the thought I got, this is what happened. So that must have been the word from God. I didn't even see it. I got it. And it came true. At the time I thought, maybe, maybe not. It was a thought. So let's just continue with excitement. The Lord is really his desire is to bless us, his desire is to work through us, to partner with us.